Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Monday night, early Yud Kislev. We're learning Chavis Halavish Shar Hakshuva. We're learning Perek Tishii, which talks about Averis, for which it's particularly difficult to do tshuva, even if you follow his program of tshuva in the whole Shar, which is pretty hard in itself. He really gets into Yekishkis, but even then he talks about Averis Haril. Averis Haril, if there's a mamzer born, he said, what are you going to do? The Avera has taken on a flesh and blood form, and you can't get rid of it. Tshuva has to get rid of your Avera. You can't get rid of this Avera. If you do Ben Adam Achavero, and he's not Mochel, he moved away, he doesn't want to be Mochel you, what are you going to do? You don't have enough money to pay him off. You don't know where he is anymore. You don't even know who you insulted. You insulted somebody, you don't know who. All of these things make it well nigh impossible to do a full tshuva. So therefore, what do you do? He doesn't talk about it here. He talks about it in the next perek. In the last perek of the Shah, Perek Asiri, he tells us what to do in these cases. Perek Tishii, the ninth perek, is talking just to make you aware, and therefore you should avoid these averis, because tshuva is that much more difficult in them. So he's going through a list, and now we're on page Reish Lamed Aleph, in the last paragraph. So it's like the last 10 lines around. Another thing on the list for which it's very difficult to do tshuva, if not impossible. Someone who tricked people, who fooled people, who led people astray. So obviously at the extreme he's talking about Muhammad, or he's talking about Yoshka, you can't say he didn't do anything. Maybe Peter did. I don't know if Yoshka did. I don't know. Mishahisa b'nei adam b'deyo nefsede shebodo lahem, that he made up. I don't know if he made a new religion, that's what I mean. The whole thing about him and was made up after he died. He didn't say that ever. But Pashas, even according to them, he didn't say anything. B'chayov, he said he's a Navi. And maybe he's coming to change Torah's Moshe, which is certainly against Yud Gimel Ikrim. But for what it became, okay. David, what?
He said he was a Navi.
I don't even know if he said that. There's a machlokes, because there's a few gospels and they contradict each other. And there's no Gemara on them, so we don't know the teretz to the stira. But this could be a reform rabbi also. I mean, let's call a spade. It could be a conservative rabbi, a reform rabbi is leading people astray. This is the problem, you know. And if it's unintentional, so he's doing an unintentional avera. You have to do tshuva for an unintentional avera. And if you're living in a fragmented Jewish world, so you would hold that this other, the guy next to you, is guilty of this also. Somebody's trying to tell people they have to go to work. They shouldn't be in Kollel. So how's he ever going to do tshuva? I'll kapon him, but the idea is chote umachti. That's the category he's talking about, is chote umachti. It's not because there's something special about chote umachti that ein maspikin biyodo lasos tshuva. That's why it's on the list. And we're going to talk about it in a second. There might not even be the enormity of the chet. All the things he says here are very practical and down to earth. It's not because, oh, what a terrible chet, I ate a ham sandwich on Yom Kippur, and it was boil and iron morosa while he was eating a ham sandwich on Yom Kippur. That, you could do tshuva for that. He talks about Ben Adam Achavero might have certain built-in obstacles to doing tshuva. And he gave other examples where you don't know who you harmed. If you are habitual chote, is ain't must speak and be other lasses tshuva. certain things that have built-in obstacles. So one of them is Chote
Umachte. That's what I'm asking about, if it's intentional. We'll see in a second what the reason is.
Hareza toa umase, velo yechtal cheto lehosif ulihikofel kozman shemizvasvim ma'aminov, meaning the aver increases exponentially. K'maymer kadmonenu kolamazaki esarabim ein chet bo'al yodo. Kolamachti esarabim ein maspikim biyodo lasos tshuva. The Omer Yeravam, that's the famous icon of Chote Umachti, the poster child of Chote Umachti is Yeravam ben Nevot. Chata vehechti is Arabim, Chet Arabim tolui bo. So he has a share, so to speak, in everyone's Aveira. Shenemar al Chatos Yeravam, plural, al Chatos Yeravam, Asher Chata vehechti is Yisrael. So now, to me, it sounds a little like Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva is taka part of his onesh. It's such a big aveira because he talks about it increases exponentially. So it's so enormous, and you did such an avla. The truth is, it's like Ben Adam Lachavera also, because how are they ever going to be meichel you? They don't even know they're doing an aveira. But here it says explicitly, Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva means we don't let him. And I think he's taking it as an onesh. It could be, just as it could be, it's psychological also. Just like by chote, a habitual chote, it says they must speak in biyodolasas tshuva. And it could mean that he's not capable of like making that leap. His self-justification will always be overwhelming because that's already his lifestyle. And if he has to apply what's called cognitive dissonance, he'll apply it. But he can't say that his whole life was a lie. It's too much. So here also, you know, if you build up something to repudiate, you know, let's say a reform rabbi, let's say in a temple, you know, and to stand up and repudiate his whole life in front of, you can't do it. But the Lashon of Ein Maspikim Biyado, so there is a Deya that explains Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva as being that, you know, you can't. But the simple pshat, ironically, the more simple pshat is that it's a punishment. Now, if you hear a story, sometimes you'll hear a story that a guy, you know, sometimes you think, you know, you need a schus to do tshuva. Like, Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva. You know, a guy, let's say you read a story, in case it's not true, so the story is not true, so you just, but let's say you know the story, where a guy came to shul on Yom Kippur, and maybe he would have, he felt some stirrings, and the guy next to him talked during Chazaras HaShatz, or made fun of the rabbi's speech, and he said, it's all baloney, and he walked out. So usually the story is told from the perspective of, hey, look what you did. But there's another angle to the story too. That could be this guy was a Chote Umachti, and Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva. So even if he put himself in a situation where maybe there was some stirrings of tshuva, but that's Hashem punished him. Hashem is punishing him for whatever he might have been chotei umachti. That doesn't excuse the guy that talked. I'm just saying there's a different angle to the story. There is a concept of Ein Maspikim Biyado Lasos Tshuva. So if a guy, you know, you try to be makar of someone, or, you know, and you mess up, or it doesn't work, it could be that guy doesn't have the schus. It could be he doesn't have the schus. The guy doesn't give tzedakah, there's another angle to it. He doesn't have the schus of, I always tell Simon that his father-in-law got the bargain of the century. Right, the name of the shul, he got the bargain of the century. So it could be someone else was offered that. It could be. I don't know if it happened. And turned it down. The pshat is he doesn't have the schus. That's what the Chavetz Chaim used to say when he got the door slammed in his face when he went collecting for tzedakah or a baron. They say, you know, if you have a healthy attitude towards it, it's the guy who doesn't have the schus to support Torah. That's what it is. So, Eimah speaking beyond the laws is true, but sometimes a guy doesn't have the schus to get on the bandwagon. So that's what it means.
Can't be a mitzvah. Like, he's done so much damage.
That's what I just said. It could be he can't stand up and repudiate his life. If he has 10,000
emails. I mean, he's just done so much damage that's now spread all over that he can't possibly fix it. Someone gets up in front of
the
you're
talking about the Ben Adam Lachavero and the Hanami, so it's included in the Ben Adam Lachaveros that he said before. But it doesn't sound like he's talking about the Ben Adam Lachavero angle of Chote Umachti, because then it's not included in what he said before. He's talking about, you know, you can't, Jim Jones, that's the Kool-Aid guy. Jim Jones with a cult. Everybody drank Kool-Aid with cyanide, they all died. That's like a famous thing. Jones? Yeah, there's such an expression in Jonestown. I see, I'm an old, you guys don't know nothing. That was
he believes that he's done so much wrong. He himself has no hope.
We're saying that he has. Because of Chote Umachti. What should a guy who was Chote Umachti do? We're going to learn in the next parak. You know, should he throw up his hands and say, I'm a little learned man, and I know that Ein Maspikim Biyod Elasos Tshuva, so why should I bother? So there's a famous, we'll learn in the next parak. But to answer you now, there's a story in Maseches Chagiga about Acher, that he heard a bas kol from Shemayim say, Shuvu Bonim Shovovim, Du Tshuva Chutz Me Acher, except for Acher. And the Gemara says he shouldn't have listened. Who told him to listen?
He screamed at
him. What? What? I don't know which story you're talking about. No, this is he fell for it. He fell for it. And even Yeravim ben Nevat, you know, whether Ein Maspikin is means the shades of meaning. It could be interpreted to mean he doesn't have siyata d'shmaya, or he doesn't get the opportunities of inspiration. Let's say there's a talk, you know, someone gives him tickets to a Gateways retreat, a free weekend. So, you know, so like that, he won't have that siyata d'shmaya to go and get turned on. But does it really mean that if he actually wants to do tshuva, like the gates are all blocked? Not pushing at all. Okay, but again, as part of the 10th parak, he goes through everything in this parak, and he says, like, what should you do? Should you give up? And you can't do tshuva? Really? Really? So that's what the 10th parak is reserved for. The 9th parak, meanwhile, he's talking about very difficult and obstacles, and you stay away from these averas because it's so hard to do tshuva. Now the next thing he says is very scary. I guess we'll stop because I have to catch a 9:30, and I do want to learn a little kids. So we'll stop. Yeah. No, next week, Sunday.